Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, friends. Want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Matt Moderno. I've got Jihadi White joining me here in a couple minutes. We're going to be talking about just what the end of this season for the Wizards is going to look like. It seems like they've finally embraced at least the soft tank. People are now magically sitting out games with soreness we heard nothing about previously, etc. So it's not the worst thing in the world. Again, I still feel a little guilty and conflicted about rooting for them to lose, but at this point in the season, I just don't see what the point is. So I prefer to look at it as I'm looking for them to lose now so they can win next year. So it helps me rationalize the rooting for losing. Again, this is a generational draft. Otherwise, I'd be sort of less on the, you know, tank as hard as you can bandwagon. But at this point, I hope they lose every game the rest of the way. They like locking in a top five draft pick in this draft would be insane, or at least getting top five odds, which probably locks you in a top seven pick. Like, that's huge, and that's kind of what this team needs. So we'll see what that plays out, or we'll see how that plays out. Just one of those things where, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch this team play the rest of the way. We'll get into it with Jihadi. Again, I hope the young guys play literally every single minute of these games, and I don't need to see KP play 35 minutes in a game and take 25 shots in the first quarter. I don't need to see Brad race to get the scoring record, which we'll also get into. So as always, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas. Honestly, this is like joyous drinking occasions right now that they're embracing the tank, so that's a good thing. We're also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any game or sport imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today to join and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, with that, let's bring in Jihadi and we'll just start breaking this thing down for you. Okay, pleased to welcome in Jihadi White. Jihadi, how's it going?
Matt, my man with the plan, what's going on?
We're almost to the end here. Like, I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. I can see the finish line. We're getting to that point. Since we last recorded, the Wizards lost 117-97 to Detroit, 117-94 against Cleveland, 132-118 to the Kings, 122-112 to the Magic, 118-104 to the Nuggets. So it's been a little bit of a rough patch in our last week or so since we recorded. It seems like the team has finally thrown in the towel on the season. Guys are now magically missing games with soreness and sort of vague injuries and things like that. Is this the right move to just sort of pack it in at this point?
I hate to say it. So right now we're, after what's four games? That's three out of four losses. Five games, four out of five losses.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been a little bit of a rough trend.
Yeah, we had Cleveland, we had Sacramento, we had Orlando, Denver. Was it Atlanta? No. Detroit.
Yep. I've got it on my note sheet here somewhere, but they have lost.
Yeah, so I mean
eight of 10, I think. They're two of their last 10 are wins.
I think that after that loss against Orlando,
yeah,
they kind of made it official, like a referee whistle. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. That it's just time. You know, even when we're starting off well, and I think we started off against Orlando well, we started mm-hmm. off against Denver well, mm-hmm. and we just tank out after that second half. You know, and guys, you know, main guys. What's good is at least now you get to see some of the other guys play and really see how they can be in action in the full game, mm-hmm. Which was good a little bit, you know, surprising with some players, and you see what some players really could bring if they had to, you know, had to push to bring it or had the court time to bring it. Mm-hmm. Right now guys are just saving their body, I think, you know, and just mailing it in. And I hate to say it, man, but you know, now you have to look forward to next year, rebuild.
I keep saying this, but like, I feel bad rooting for them to lose because I just not wired that way. But at this point, it's like, you can't do anything if you win these games, and losing these last couple, like it means more to you next year about winning next year. So I'm like, I'm trying to look longer term, but it still just feels foreign to me to be like, yeah, just suck. Please suck as much as you can.
I like effort. I got to see effort.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know.
But play the young guys and let them give effort.
Play the young guys. Yeah. Really, really get a good assessment of the young guys that you really haven't gotten this year. It helps you make a better decision at the end of the year.
Bingo.
Right? You kind of, either you know or don't know by now what you're going to do for the big, you know, for Kuzma and Porzingis. And you brought in a few guys this year. You signed, you know, some small contracts with JG, mm-hmm. With Davis, yeah. and the Australian kid, yeah. right?
Xavier Cooks.
Yeah, Xavier Cooks. So test those out. You know, test those out and see where you can build from there. You know, decide how much time you really want to get Denny, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, he looked good in the Orlando game and he didn't look bad it looked bad against Denver either. Yeah. Right. So, which was surprising, seemed like he got some confidence back, you know, so that's a decision you can decide, you know, how much will he be a factor for next year mm-hmm. or non-factor. Either way, that's a decision you have to make. Think you need to really evaluate what you want to do with Kispert.
Yep.
As far as, and to me, you should make the right decision in that chance. He needs to be, pushed to the forefront, more active part of the defense, offense. Mm-hmm. Right. And let some guys heal.
Yeah. I don't need to see Porzingis come out against the Spurs tonight and have 20 first quarter points and then end up playing 35 minutes in this game, like, and them, you know, barely beating the Spurs. Like, I would love to see 20 minutes for Jordan Goodwin. I would love to see 20 minutes of Johnny Davis. I would love to see 30 minutes of Gafford, 30 minutes of Kispert, 30 minutes of Denny. Like, let's find out. If you're not going to try to win these games, let's see, to your point, if they can be capable of scaling up, maybe with some rhythm and some minutes over the last 10 games, you get some momentum and it gives them confidence going into the offseason. I guess, right. Johnny, for your perspective, can just 10 games worth of minutes give a guy enough confidence to like make a difference next year?
Yeah, absolutely. 10 games here, 10 minutes here, mm-hmm. 20 minutes there. You know, it's about rhythm play.
Yeah.
Most players are rhythm players.
Mm-hmm.
And basketball is 20% skill, 80% confidence. And that builds the confidence. Most players don't play up to their ability just because they're playing under pressure. They're pressured to do all the right things, pressure to perform, pressure to produce, right? Pressure to make an impact so quickly that it's unnatural. It's an unnatural position to be in, right, to play a game so naturally that you make an impact naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when nothing is created for you.
Yep.
Right. So, and that's a unique position to be in. And it has to be a situation where they're saying, hey, we got to give this guy opportunity. Right. And if every opportunity, you mess up that one opportunity and they take that opportunity away from you and then give it to you maybe another 5 games down the road, you just never going to be in a natural flow to be able to really be comfortable with what you can do, but also show what you can do.
That's how I felt about Jordan Goodwin the last 10 games, maybe, because he'll play 19 minutes one night and then 4 the next night and then 16 minutes the next night and then 8 the next night. And it seems like offensively, especially, he's not been able to get into that same rhythm where it was like, hey, Jordan, you're getting 25 minutes a night. Like, let's, he seems like he's expecting the leash anytime he misses a shot or makes a mistake. And
it also makes you press. It makes press to get as many shots as you. Like, hey, I might only have 3-4 minutes out here. Right. I got to get as many shots as possible.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. It's just not a, and that's how it is. This is the NBA. So that pressure is always there. And it's the proven ability is always there. And the little window of opportunity, the little crack of opportunity is sometimes all you can get. And so it's just a situation. But then, it's tough to be able to change that situation. But now that we're, guys, we kind of toward the end of the season, guys are kind of relaxing and there's more opportunity. This is now for those guys who really haven't got a lot of time this season.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you could display to the team, this is now them scouting you.
Yep.
Right? This is now where you can maybe change a decision here or there from the organization.
Yeah, if you play 25 minutes and all of a sudden you start cooking people, like, okay, maybe that factors into the planning for next year a little bit more. And there's some takeaways for the team. I always wrestle with this where, like, I'm always like, yeah, give the young guys minutes, but also those guys like have to earn those minutes. You want them to still do the right things, but it's like, but now they can play through a few mistakes, right? Like the leash isn't quite as quick. And that's huge, especially for someone like Johnny Davis that looks a little tentative still maybe timid at some points. Like, hey man, like go make that crazy reverse layup. Like if you miss it, you're not getting yanked. So like now's the time to try it. And we're starting to see a few more flashes here and there. He didn't make shots the other night, but looked less shy about taking them. I think even that's a win.
Right. I mean, those players now have to understand the coach is only good as his options.
Right.
when your top options are deciding not to play, it's hitting. Hey,
it's my turn.
My turn. If I do make a mistake, just keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
Even D. Wright.
Yeah.
In that Denver game,
mm-hmm.
I saw a completely different player.
Yeah.
He played more freely, played more open, mm-hmm. went downhill, attacked the basket. I saw his bag
right,
I haven't exactly. seen in a while.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I haven't seen much lately.
And then like, wow, I forgot he had all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, so that's how much opportunity can open up really quickly for these players. Not saying it's going to change their life, but it could change their the decision-making factor of if they even here next year.
Right. Other teams can be watching these minutes and be like,
yeah.
That's a guy I want to invest in, or he fills a hole for us. And that's equally as important. You mentioned the effort there, something you still want to see one particular area I have not seen a ton of effort recently has been in three-point defense specifically. And I cherry-picked a couple of these statistics from Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington. Shout out Chase. He does a great job. But they're just, the three-point line has been kind of their downfall here recently, especially that Nuggets game. The Nuggets shot the shit out of it. The Wizards didn't really make anything. Over the course of the season, the Wizards are tied for sixth in three-pointers allowed, which is good. But they're 19th in opponents' three-point percentage at 36.6, which isn't particularly as good. So, but lately, it's just been like teams are going in and bombing away at them. And, you know, they're shooting like as a team, the Wizards themselves are shooting well below their percentage for the course of the season. And they're giving up a lot of threes. It's just, to me, that's an effort thing. If you've been pretty good defending the three-point line for the majority of the season, and now all of a sudden, like teams are getting a lot more looks and a lot better looks, is that them getting tired? Is it effort? Like, what are you seeing from that perspective?
Well, so first of all, to me, it's surprising. If I know I can, in the last five games, I still had a shot to make the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that closeout defense on the perimeter should have been a top priority. Should have been my number one if I want to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
Or if I already mailed it in.
Yep.
To me, I mean, that has to be through the entire staff and the players, coaching staff and the players. That, and I didn't see it become more emphasis on that position, in that particular point of, hey, let's stop three-point shooters, let's close out.
Yep.
Now, in the Sacramento game and in the Denver game, it was a little bit tougher because you had guys rolling. You had Sabonis rolling with drawing all the defense in, right? And then, that you know, everybody in Sacramento was firing it off. I mean, you had Fox, Murray, and
Keegan Murray was bombing away.
Murray's bombing away, and then Sabonis sucking in the defense, so you're getting scored on inside and outside, which makes it very tough to get back to that perimeter, you know? And then same thing with Denver.
Yeah.
You know,
Jokic,
when you have everything
so
running through the big man, that makes I hate to say it, but sometimes when I feel like with Denver, if some of those players played on other teams, they may not be as efficient scorers as they are now. They may not get all the looks they're getting.
Yeah, he makes life so easy for them.
So when you have when you decide not to put an emphasis on closeouts because we still could have made the play-in, and you know you're going up against teams like Sac and Denver.
Yep.
I mean, what is it? What else is there? You pretty much guaranteed to write a check that your butt can't cash because you're not making the changes to push to the next level or trying to make an effort to still continue the season.
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree. Over the last 11 games, they've allowed the highest 3-point percentage in the league at 42.7 and the 10th most threes per game at 13.5. Meanwhile, over that stretch, they're shooting the third lowest percentage, 34%. And averaging the second fewest threes made at 9.7. There was a stretch earlier in the year, if the Wizards made 15 threes, they were like 12-1 or something on the season. So like for this team, especially if they're getting good open looks, like they're going to beat teams. And that's just such a, you know, it's three is more than two, right? Like at the end of the day, the math is simple. If you give up that many more threes, it makes
a three-point
league
now. You can't compete with threes and twos. Like you can't match twos with threes, you know, and players who, excuse me, I mean, teams who have an inside outside game, it makes it hard. And, you know, even with our big three, we're still not an inside outside game. Porzingis don't go on the inside. So
he's never closer than 15 feet from the basket.
We do nothing to pull any defenders.
Yeah.
You know,
Would you post up any of the other? I mean, like,
no.
Porzingis is not going to be a post up guy. Would you ever post up Kuzma if he's got a smaller guy on him, or any of those kind of things? Like, Can Gafford get any paint touches? Like,
I can post up Kuzma. Yeah, if anyone, I would post up to Kuzma. I wouldn't post up Gafford.
Okay.
He's too inconsistent. He only plays well against young players.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When he plays against experienced players, he don't show up. You know, he got too many antics for me. You know, and if he miss a shot, he fall out of bounds and never get back on defense, which just drives me crazy.
There's a lot of that this season. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only person you can post up is Kuzma. You really don't have an option to post up anybody else other than Kuzma, especially in the starting five. Gafford doesn't create the need for somebody to have to double down on him. Or so if he rolls, you're just gonna let him roll.
Yep.
One person's, you know, or and the problem is when we are setting screens, no one's rolling down trying to draw defense in.
Right.
So they just and teams know that, and that's our offense. A lot of top screen, like drag screens or top screens or rolls, you know, up top. And then, you know, that's really mostly it. If we do somehow get in the defense, then you look for guys kicking out. It's always somebody coming out. But other than that, it's just first half is a two-man screen and roll with Porzingis and Brad. You know that. Second half, it's more of a, you know, freestyle game. Kuzma probably gets loose a little bit in second half, right? Brad kind of runs off a lot of screens, but it's always just at the top of the key,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just too predictable.
So that's one thing I think all fans are kind of clamoring for is just like something like different offensively. At this point, we've seen 2 years of basically them running the same things and middling results. It's not like they don't have offensively skilled personnel and you're getting killed from a 3-point perspective, but you don't really do much to create looks for your better 3-point shooters. Like, Morris is a capable enough 3-point shooter if they could get him a few more looks. Kispert is a capable enough 3-point shooter if they could get him a few more looks. Like, they don't have a ton of shooting on this roster.
How, Matt? How?
That's what they got. That's what they got to figure out. I mean,
what would you do?
I would not have built this roster this way in the first place. But it's the lack of a point guard that's going to create any looks for anybody with this particular group. I would try to run a ton more. And just like they play at a glacial pace compared to the rest of the league. And I don't understand that. If you don't have anybody
get the ball out.
Right. If you can't manufacture offense in the half court, I would fucking run on everything. Like I just he's worried about it, he keeps saying, because it hurts them defensively. Well, you're not good defensively anyway. So maybe at least if you score 10 points more game because you ran, you'd have a better shot. I don't know, something.
Just like Philly. Just how many times Philly gets quick, have somebody run out, quick pass mm-hmm. down. Well, now we don't have to set up with no one that really has to even play. Let's take that off, that opportunity first.
Yep.
As soon as the ball goes through, somebody blow out and we get down the court before the defense sets up, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it gets out, let's do a drag screen with either Porzingis and Brad or Gafford and Brad right away, right? So now we can free up something. Two guys fill the lanes really fast, right? It's so many things that we could do to just create a little bit of opportunity to get more, you know, light up the scoreboard a little more without less work. You know, let's run, I know he's older, you know, now, but let's run him off a lot of brush screens. You know, you don't never really see him running any baseline screens,
ever.
Brush screens at all. That's none of that is incorporated.
And they did that for him a lot early in his career. Maybe it's a different coaching staff, but you don't see.
And it was effective.
Right. I agree.
Right. Porzingis, you gotta roll.
Yeah.
You gotta roll hard. At least draw the defense. Right? Let's set up some certain things that kind of, you know, maybe even if you don't get the ball, if you're rolling hard and you get it the first three times now. You know, we could set up something where we can set up a situation where we can draw the players in. Now, what you were talking about, then we can get the threes. We have no opportunity or offense to create anything so those three-point shooters can be open. Look at Denver.
Yeah.
They open all day. Mm-hmm. Three-point shooters open all day, no matter if they play against us or anyone else. You, those three-point shooters getting their numbers. Same thing with Zach.
Porzingis is not the passer that Jokic is, and probably not even that Sabonis is, but he's, as far as 7 foot two guys, he's one of the better, like, big dudes in the league. I think you could even run some stuff off of him in the high post, like just something, like, he'll make the right read. He's not going to throw any, like, you know, he's not going to, like, bounce it behind the back off the backboard to somebody like Jokic is, but he'll make the right basketball play, and they run almost nothing off of him.
We have to. It creates more. It opens up much more.
Yeah.
If he's only shooting threes and playing on the perimeter, then we have three perimeter scores.
Right. You can't be pick and pop on every. You got to be pick and roll at some point, or
gotta
something.
You got to be roll, but it got to be somebody they can respect to have to defend the role.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem is we're not worried about anyone rolling on our team.
Yeah. It's. Again, I mentioned the roster construction. That was kind of a joke. But the one thing looking at this group, I think they could do is you have several guys that have, like, grab and go potential. You don't have to find a point guard on this team every time. If Kuzma gets the ball, I feel comfortable with him initiating the fast break. If Denny gets the ball, I feel reasonably comfortable with him initiating the fast break. Like, Porzingis is going to run as well down the court as any of these other bigs that are guarding him. Like, I would push everything. I would try to be the fastest team in the league the last 10 games. Like, Goodwin is a hard guy.
I don't think we're that. I don't think we have that type of – we're not built athletically that way.
They don't have the same finishing, but you've got enough shooting that if you ran and you pressed, then you'd be getting better open.
Yeah, but we're not fast. We're not a very fast team. You don't have a Trae Young that can get in the teeth of the defense every day.
You don't have
a Spider-Man that can get in the teeth of the defense anytime he wants to, right? We need somebody like that, right? So just like we're saying, we have to penetrate and pitch. Sure. We have to draw in. We have to draw in the defense some way to the
paint. I'm talking about before they can even get set. Like, just
yeah, we're not a very fast team athletically. To me, outside of,
I'd let Goodwin attack. I'd let Beal attack more.
But then you got to get more. Then you got to give Goodwin more opportunity. You got to believe in him more first.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think when he played more, he was a tough matchup for these other teams because he actually did push, and he is such a good rebounder for his size. That allows you to just start the break immediately. You're not, you know, not holding the Gafford's not holding the ball and looking for DeLon Wright to slowly dribble the ball up the court every time. Like, to me, that's just not modern basketball the way these other teams we're playing against are playing. And it seems like the Wizards have to work so much harder for an easy basket, especially to close these games. I think that's why they get stagnant in, like, the final 5 minutes, because it's like, okay, well, we don't run on anything. We don't create any open looks. So Brad ISO again.
Brad ISO, Kuzma ISO.
Yeah.
It's you can break the whole thing down. Brad ISO, Kuzma ISO.
Mm-hmm. KP and pop, maybe.
Pick and pop. Yeah. KP and Brad game.
And that's it.
That's what every team has to stop. That's the scout report,
yeah.
Right? If Kisper gets off, let him get off. Yeah. But now, to me, he's pretty much one of the fastest guys on the team.
He's another one. I mean, he runs the floor a lot better than he gets credit for. He finds open spaces. He cuts well.
Right.
Like, those are the kinds of guys I would want on the court to run with. But I don't know. It's just a little confounding to me that they talk every year, every single offseason since he's been general manager, Tommy Shepherd has talked about adding more athletic wings and more shooting. And every year they don't add particularly athletic guys. And every year they're, like, in the bottom five in most major shooting statistics you would care about.
That's
so,
because you so if it's a 3-point lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either you're gonna have to have a lot of motion going on, and most great shooting teams run everything to the inside out.
Yep.
Even if the inside guy don't, so even like a Draymond Green, you'd never have to respect his scoring,
mm-hmm.
but everything is ran through him.
Right. They run off of him. They like, you know, he's going to find you out of the interior if he does get the ball.
Right. So if we
grab and go,
running everything outside of the perimeter.
Yeah. It came a lot easier to defend all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah. And I think we have great shooters. I think our team has very, very good shooters. I mean,
I think they're better than their percentages. Yeah. I think they're better than their percentages. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like if you looked at, this is obviously silly because that's not how the NBA works, but if you swap, I don't know, if you put Jokic on this team, every one of these guys' percentages go up, you know, 3-5%. I mean, that obviously that goes without saying, but they're capable guys. If Kispert is never a guy that's going to like put the ball on the floor and manufacture offense for himself. But if you got him a few more open looks a game, he's going to make enough percentage of them to make teams pay, but he's not scalable on his own. So like that would be the offseason priority to me is, okay, Monte is fine. DeLon's fine. Can Jordan Goodwin give you enough of what DeLon Wright gives you? And can you find a way to consolidate Monte and DeLon Wright's contracts for like an upgrade at point guard? Someone that is actually going to create advantages for the rest of your team. I don't think they have that that player.
No, because we don't have enough guy. Right. Yeah, right. It's a difference between running the offense efficiently.
Yeah.
And creating plays.
Yep.
You know, yourself, just creating movement and action yourself until we can guarantee being getting the teeth of the defense. You know, we got to touch the paint.
Yeah. Monte just doesn't do that. And it's great that that's why he was a great backup. It's why he was great in Denver because he was low turnover, you know, high efficiency, but he didn't have to be the guy to manufacture good shots for people. He just had to knock down his and not screw up bringing the ball up. And then Jokic did the rest. Like him here as a starting point guard, it's just not a great personnel fit. And it's not a knock on him as a player. It's just, no. This is not what he brings.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and that's the new age of basketball now. Yep. That's basketball now. That's what it is.
Drive and kick to people.
Three-point game. Yeah. So now we got to create a way for the perimeter, our perimeter defense to not be there, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the great players do it. Not to go to NCAA basketball right now, but we just saw that. We just saw a player that can create all of that.
Yeah, you know, Marquise Noel for Kansas State, if anyone has not been watching.
New Yorker, you know. Yeah. I'm like... And I hate to watch NCAA basketball and think about NBA, but all I can say is, man, the Wizards need a player like that.
Yeah, just somebody dynamic, right? I mean, like that. As good as Brad is, I still think he is best as an off the ball.
Ooh.
You know, like he's not the guy you want to throw the ball to and clear out for, and you know, it's just not his skill set. And again, not a knock. It's just. That you got to put guys in positions to be successful. And I don't think that we've built a roster that allows these guys to be the most successful.
We need a dominant, very quick point guard who can create. When all else fails and everything, coach calls a play and he's like, nope, that's not working. I'm going to create something. Let's go.
That was the one thing that I was not huge on the Russell Westbrook Wizards experiment overall. But the guy got to the rim, created rim pressure, and would throw it out to wide open people. Like, it's just, we're making this tougher than it needs to be. You know, you don't need a wizard like John Wall that's throwing, like, you know, cross-court, diagonal, length of the court, left-handed bounce passes to people. You know, like, it just doesn't have to be that hard. But somebody that can get to the rim and throw it out to someone if they need to, if they can't finish. You got to be a threat to get to the rim.
You gotta create rim pressure, getting the paint right. That's everything. That's all that matters in this league now, right? And that's why the teams with the bigs mm-hmm. that create a lot of rim pressure that you have to respect.
Yep.
Get a big like that now that can also pass the ball, can see around his head. That was the toughest team to have. Tough team to defend.
It's easier said than done, but even like somebody like a Tyrese Maxey as not like an amazing point guard, but he creates easy looks for Embiid and Harden too, just by being a guy that Like, if you give him a seam, he's going to find it and get to the rim on somebody. And that makes their lives easier. So it doesn't have to be your number one guy. Like, but it's got to be somebody that's a high enough usage that teams have to respect. And I don't know how you find that person, but if I had a, let's say I'm the Wizards and I now look like I'll have a top seven draft pick, that's the main thing I'm trying to identify. And I'm not saying reach for that skill set. Somebody's going to tweet me best player available, blah, blah, blah. But this is a draft where there are a lot of guys that one, have some size, two, have some athleticism, and three, can create those types of advantages for you. Anthony Black, the kid from Arkansas, he will get to the rim and he will kick it back out to people, and he's big. Amen Thompson from Overtime Elite. He's like maybe not a pure point guard, let's say, but he's so springy. His first step is so quick for somebody his size, or his height at least, because he weighs like 112 pounds. But like, you got to respect him getting to the rim, and he'll find open dudes. Like,
those guys also, you don't have to create a lot of plays for. You don't have to run a lot of sets, right?
Yeah.
If I know, first of all, we need someone who can rebound.
That would be nice.
Right. So we need to limit a team to one shot only, right? They too many second shot opportunities for other teams. Mm-hmm. But if we can get somebody to rebound right off the set, throw it to the point, he takes off.
Yeah.
And now everybody just fills lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Player like that, you don't, once you get one, it's just one player, and you learn how to play around that one player.
Yep.
It's no sets you really need to run. It's also hard to defend.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
but the only thing a team can say
let's keep one guy back.
Yeah,
right. But it's hard to defend. You know, when I played, not to go back to college, when I played with Allen Iverson, coach threw everything out the window, and every player knew is I just better run with him.
Yeah,
if I want to go anywhere in this game, I better run with Allen Iverson, and I better be the first person he sees when he gets down court.
Yeah,
right, because. And that was our offense.
Yeah.
Nothing changes.
Was Rod like that here in D.C.?
Rod was more two-way, both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rod was a lot of that, but also he was a lot of just, let's set it up, let's run it.
Sure.
You know, he was also a floor general. Rod was every aspect, you know. And you just had to learn. I was kind of young, but you had to learn how to play with Rod.
Mm-hmm.
And just the system where – Rod liked his system his way, and it was more old school basketball.
Okay.
But if we had a system like most teams have
run
today,
now. Yeah, he could do that.
We would kill. It was just the system that was implemented.
I got you.
That, you know, and that's how Rod liked it.
Yeah, makes sense. I think just what we've been talking about is why, again, same name, Anthony Black for Arkansas is like in that window for the Wizards. He's a name I've kind of like zeroed in on for what this team most needs, because he's also big enough and a decent enough rebounder to get the ball himself. And now you're really off. Like that outlet pass to a point guard, it doesn't seem like it would slow you down that much with a stopwatch. But if that player himself gets the ball and now can just go, and all you have to think about around him is just filling lanes. Like I think that just that second or two makes such a huge difference right now.
It does. It does. I mean, just with his talent and just how he goes, and he has some size on him.
Yeah, it's right? A big advantage for a smaller team.
You can really see the court. He's a very, he can see around him. You know, he's very, you know, he can see. So what helps, which that's all we need, you know. And then what happens is players see how he plays. If he's very dominant with the ball, when especially every time you're getting down the court, he has the most time. Players learn to play with players. I'm learning Anthony Black.
Yeah.
Right. I'm learning if he does this, I'm cutting this. Right. And just now we're just playing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. More movement, more motion. We're playing off of each other. I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't know where that guy Newell, if he even goes out this year, if he even enters the draft this year.
Probably not.
I would.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to have a better run than this. Yeah.
If we get a Newell, if we get a Marquise Newell, it changes the trajectory of things majorly.
I did hear that they list him at 5'9", and I heard somebody say that like 5'6", 5'7", is probably more. I get you. I mean,
how tall is Trae Young?
Trae Young is an easy 6 feet tall. He's bigger than he looks, and I honestly thought Trae was smaller than he was listed, but he walked by me in the tunnel a couple months ago, and I mean, pretty close to me in the tunnel. I'm exactly 6 feet tall, and he looked bigger than me. Maybe some of that's the hair. I don't know.
That height would affect him. But it's obviously it has.
Give him a two-way contract and let him try it out. See if it works.
I'd be the first one trying to get him on a low, low deal. I don't think he's gonna go as low as we think he will if he gets out. Mm-hmm. Because once you see guys like a Trae Young, anybody who can penetrate and create, that's priceless.
I'm with you. It seems like an under-available skill set, too. There aren't a ton of guys that can kind of like – that you have to chase around like that. I mean, that's a lot of work for a defense. Just switching gears here a little bit. The next game is obviously Friday night. If you're listening to this on Friday, they'll be playing the Spurs. Bradley Beal and Kyle Kuzma are both out. They play the Raptors on Sunday, the Celtics on Tuesday, and the Magic on Friday. I will be at both Spurs and Magic games, so I'm going to feel awkward, but I'll be rooting for them to lose, unfortunately. So that's like 8 games left for Bradley Beal as he nears the franchise scoring record. He's like 160 points shy right now. He's trailing Elvin Hayes. That just means if he plays those 8 games, he has to average about 20 points a game. To me, that's very doable for him. I mean, obviously, he averages in the 20s, so I can't see that being a problem, but... he's also third in overall games played for the Wizards. He's 6 short of 700. Wes Senior has 984. Elvin has 731. So he becomes an instant Wizards Hall of Famer. I mean, he already is, but like you lead the franchise in scoring and you're third all time in games played. You have no doubt cemented your legacy as a Wizard at that point.
It's important to me. It's, it may be important to you. It's important to the fans.
Yeah.
We have to see how important it is to Bill, to Brad, right? If it is, then we may be saying, hey, him sitting out these games may be himself saving himself for the last few games to go for that record, right? So, to me, I would think it would be important to him, and it would be something to play for. If you got a season that ended like this and everything kind of turned out like it turns out, mm-hmm. That would be a personal highlight for me, a benchmark for myself.
It'd be something for the organization to tout too,
It could be. I think it's more for Brad.
Sure.
Right?
They love hanging banners.
At the end of the day, how much of the fans going, you going to applaud that, and then you're going to be like, hey, we still need a lot of players. We still, this record, right? So I think it's more for Brad, but I think it's a great achievement. Now, also, he can say, I can go for this, or I had a long season and my body feels this way. It all depends on how he knows how his body feels. Because to go for that record, you're really going, it's going to take some work, but that's, he's not, it wouldn't be anything he doesn't do on an every night basis anyway.
Right. And you could play him around the rest of these young guys and still continue with your soft tank here. Brad getting 30 a game doesn't prevent you from still getting losses if you're playing him next to the right people. It doesn't have to be counterproductive, I guess, is what I'm saying, if you do it the right way.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, friends. Want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
You got to be realistic. When Brad did play a lot, we still came up with some W's.
Anyway.
Some W's.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't. I hope they wouldn't try to sit him and not let him play.
Yeah.
For that particular reason.
I can't imagine that they would do that to Brad, just given the importance they've placed with him as an organization.
Exactly. So I hope not. But I think if I was Brad, I would go for it.
Yeah.
With the season being like it is and me playing this long, you know, with this team and with the outcome, you know, of this season, that could be a personal highlight for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think if you're Brad and you break the one record and you put yourself in third and the other one, and let's say this offseason Porzingis does decide to leave, Kuzma does price himself out of the conversation, and you're Brad and you're looking at this roster and things are really lean. If I'm like, well, I already like lead the franchise in scoring. I'm already a first ballot Wizards Hall of Famer here. My jersey will go in the rafters. Maybe this is the time for me to move on. Like, I do wonder about if that enters the equation, if they don't have the offseason that they think they're going to have.
I mean, Brad did everything he could do here at the Wizards. You know, and if he stays, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
One thing Brad knows is if he goes to another team, it's going to be more role player.
Right. He's not the guy.
Yeah. He won't be the guy. He's going to be more of a role player. But after so many years in the league, you want to start taking some of that impact off your body and still be effective.
He's led the league in minutes a couple seasons at least. And I mean,
right. So it probably wouldn't be a bad look for him if he decides to. But, you know, also, hey, he's been very loyal to the Wizards and they've been loyal to him, and you can't fault him for that or for his sticking around. You know, he built DC is his second home. That's his home now. You know, his kids go to school here. You know, do he want to change up something that's been so comfortable and good to him? You know, they're not great. I mean, the city loves him, you know, so, you know, that's a tough decision to make, you know, but if that's the case, he has to know, okay, next year, I'm going to have to even bring more impact than I did last year. I'm going to have to put more minutes on my body, more out, you know, and that's going to catch up to him after a while. So, you know, that's some heavy decisions to make. Now, with Kuzma, I don't understand why he's sitting out if he's really trying to really convince the Wizards.
I got a feeling that the leverage is already there for him. Like, they didn't trade him at the deadline when they could have recouped some value. He's not going to cost so much that teams can't just sign him outright in free agency. So he'll have other options. To me, if I'm the Wizards and I'm Tommy Shepard, it is a terrible look for me if I don't swap him for some value at the deadline and then I don't shell out to keep him. I'm not saying I would overpay, but I think they're going to make every effort to match any reasonable offer another team gives him.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Do you think they should?
I have been more pro Kuzma than I think the average person, just because I think the power forward position, I think what she should be better as a power forward, is so important in today's NBA because you need somebody switchable enough to guard all these things. I think the versatility he offers outweighs some of the efficiency questions. And there's a lot of this like, oh, he's been bad for half the season thing, which just isn't an accurate narrative. Again, I stole this same stat from Chase, but in the last 93 games, which is a pretty big sample size, he's averaged 21 points, 7.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 45% from the field, and 34% from two. And from a defensive analytics standpoint, he's probably their best defender. And I know everybody likes to talk about DeLon and Denny and what KP's done defensively. But again, just from a metric standpoint, Kuzma is at the very least one of their better defenders. Players shoot worse against him. When you hear people do interviews from other teams, they talk about how much Kuzma's length really bothered them. Even when the stats don't bear that out, those guys still talk about that. They've put him on Dame Lillard, Anthony Simons, Trae Young a bunch. Like, the fact that they ask so much of him, I think, is a really hard thing for a team to replace. So to me, I don't know what the cap number is, you know, if it's 30 million, if it's 26 million, or what I would say is, here's the point, I won't go above, but I do think he brings a lot of value to them that they would have a hard time replicating elsewhere.
Yeah, so I do. So that's with my question, with your answer, I do agree with you. Why my reason for really agreeing with you more, that's more impressive than anything that I don't know if a lot of people see, but I think people see it, is Kuzma created his numbers and his stats without ever being incorporated.
Yeah, by himself. Yeah.
Everything he did was by himself.
Yep.
So if they say, wow, he did this with everything going against him.
Right.
Right. Now, if we incorporate him next year,
that point guard would go a long way. Yeah. Imagine if you find a way to get
an offense at all.
At all. And that's, to me, you're asking the biggest guy on the court half the time when Porzingis isn't out there to be your point guard sometimes, your scoring guard, and defensively, he's your point of attack defender. For a guy that hasn't played that role at this volume at any point in his career, it's a lot of extra running he does. Like, he leads the team in distance run on the court. Like, the dude is doing a lot of stuff. Now imagine what the efficiency would look like if you had someone create a few easy looks for him every game.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, he's got to get downhill more and play 6'10". I agree, but they don't respect any of the other shooters on the Wizards. He's got to do that shit by himself. So every team knows what he's got to do. He's going to try to go right, or he's going to take some step back or dribble a bunch of times and shoot a fadeaway. It's like, okay, I mean, he makes a lot of tough shots, but let's get him an easy shot and then see how it looks.
Right. Nothing he gets is easy.
Ever, yeah.
And nothing he gets is an easy shot. So to me alone, that should be a reason to say, hey, man, he created all this on his own with the defense knowing what he's going to do, knowing that, hey, we don't have to play on anybody. We don't have to double another player. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think it's the right decision.
Anybody can look at the box score and say, oh, he shot 34% from the field this game. Like, that's really tough. But your spreadsheet doesn't watch the game. Like, you have to understand the context of the team and what certain guys play with and around and other guys don't. And I think he provides more value to some of these other guys than he gets credit for. Again, I'm not absolving him of, hey, a lot of times he does take some terrible shots. There aren't a ton of other options, but like, there are times
where... What player that's, you know, shoots a lot, you know, top player that sometimes don't throw up a lot, some trash?
Yeah, I mean, a few are going to happen. Like, I think part of it is like Brad has been really efficient offensively and Porzingis is reasonably efficient offensively. So then you look at them next to Kuzma, and sometimes he looks worse, but they're also running two-man game together and getting each other easy looks. So again, it goes back to what he's asked to do and what happens around him as well.
coming down the stretch, is you can see a lot of players individually, mm-hmm. more than as a you know, as a system of as a core. I'm impressed when everything is led, when Porzingis don't have Brad or doesn't have Kuzma out there, mm-hmm. and when he puts it on his shoulders, yep. all that he can do.
Yeah.
Right? When he's yeah. the man, all that he can create, all that he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and even then with this his first halves and his first quarters and, you know, that he's putting up, we still need to kind of split some of that scoring equally.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Right? Because if we split that scoring equally, if Brad doesn't have to get 30 a night.
If it wasn't, okay, first quarter is Porzingis' quarter, fourth quarter is Brad's quarter. If it was an integrated, free-flowing offense,
yeah.
where all of them are a threat at any point during the game, now watch out. I don't know that this coaching staff seems to have the creative plan in place thus far to do that. And maybe if I'm adjusting the staff in the offseason, I'm looking for somebody that can be your dynamic offensive coordinator type, or find some way to do the things we're talking about here.
Right. Yeah. If you incorporate Kuzma more into the offense, if you split some of that scoring up equally more between Brad and Porzingis,
mm-hmm.
now you have those outside players, you know, the Kispers and the Denny's, and, you know,
yeah.
We need a efficient big, but now you can play more, they can play more freely, right? They can play more freely, right? So, because after a while, you're like, we really don't really have to defend Kuzma too. I mean, defend Porzingis too much fourth quarter at the end of the game, right? Just let's stop Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we can spread that out, that scoring out equally, and incorporate more instead of just being like, you know, one person game at in the fourth quarter. We would have been in a play-in.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I'm not saying a point guard fixes everything. I'm not saying that this is none of this is Kuzma's fault when he takes like a grenade three with 18 seconds left on the shot clock when he doesn't need to. Like, there are so many things that they could do better and refine and would be helped with some minimal changes and tweaks that they could do this roster that I think would give them a big boost in the standings next year. Like, the margins aren't that big in the NBA in terms of what's a good offense and what's a bad one, or what's a good defense and what's a bad one. If you can squeeze a couple extra percentage out of the group you have by guys being better fits, by being better incorporated, by being better coached, honestly, in my opinion, I think those things add up and they have like exponential impact. So I don't know. That's where I'm at.
But it's like you said, it's the small things just to get the little bit, squeeze a little bit more out of being efficient scoring. It's making it easier to score.
Mm-hmm.
What do most teams do? As soon as the ball goes through the net, let's get out. Somebody blow out, we run, we throw it out. Now that's something. Now we don't have to set up. Mm-hmm. Quick 2 points. So we can get that done at least five times a game.
It'd be huge.
Right. See, it's simple things like that. If we get the rebound, go, just penetrate down, we fill the lanes, quick layups. Okay, now we don't have to set up, right? Mm-hmm. So now, when it all comes down to if we have to play a half-court game, our percentages aren't so skewed.
Yep.
And then also, then that makes you look like a great coach.
Because you're a genius all of a sudden.
No matter what plays you're running.
Yep.
We don't take advantage of all the little or the small opportunities that we can have to score.
I don't want this to turn into like a me ragging on Monte Morris kind of thing. I just don't think he's the right fit to be the starting point guard here. But like, and I think Jordan Goodwin is maybe not as good a shooter as we saw him be for that sample size, just having seen him enough. But for me, like, if you swap even those two, Monte is a great assist to turnover ratio, all those things, but you get beat on the perimeter a lot because of him. And he doesn't create a ton of looks for other people. So Goodwin might be less efficient than someone like Monte or less of a threat to shoot, but he's going to push the pace more. He's going to get you a couple free extra looks. He's going to drive and throw some lobs to Gafford. He's not going to give up wide open threes. And to me, like, Jordan Goodwin is probably not a 30-minute a game starting point guard in the NBA long term either. Not that he can't grow into that, but just saying what he is now. Like, I'm just saying in terms of like player archetype here, like, that makes such a big difference to me. We've talked about the stretch. Teams
and
make
as he get comfortable.
Right, exactly. He'll grow, right? He's a young guy, and he'll play more minutes next to the big three here. Like, but that 4-point swing or delta between what other teams shoot in terms of threes that other teams make versus us, they make 4 more threes than we do. If Goodwin gives up 2 less and creates 2 more, now all of a sudden we've swung that dynamic. And at least if you're even with these teams, we're an efficient enough 2-point scoring team. They're like, now we're back on like a level playing field with people. And does that win you 4, 5, 6, 7 extra games a year? You know, now all of a sudden you're 7-8 seed. It's a different story. Even those kinds of minimal tweaks to me make a big difference. And if you bring Monte off the bench, okay, great. It's just about like role maximization to me.
True. But I think it was too late when they decided to sign Goodwin as so it was too late to now say, let's just try switching things up. Let's try some new stuff.
But going into next year.
Next year, I think that could be a very good something to look at, definitely. You know, like I said, he's fast. He can get down, he can rebound. He's much quicker. He sees things. He can create, get in the paint. Much better defender. That's definitely something that they really need to look at next year. That could be a good opportunity for him and for them.
It's just got to be somebody that helps maximize these other guys better. And whether that's, I don't know, maybe that's too much to pay for Monte to come off the bench for this team and DeLon Wright is a sufficient enough backup or whatever. But a point guard that fits more with the other personnel you have in the starting lineup would be my number one offseason priority, whether that's in the draft, whether that's through trade, free agency, whatever it is, I'd be looking at an upgrade in terms of fit there. And that's my like number one offseason wish list thing for them.
Yeah, that's a good wish list.
Just to close us out here, the other couple of things on the Kuzma front, did an interview with Chase that I mentioned earlier, and he said he's enjoyed playing in Washington, enjoys living here. Good geographic location is important for him in terms of prioritizing what he does in the offseason. From here, he can get to see family in Michigan, to Miami where he has a house. He can see his lady friend living in New York. Like, things like that are important to him. He said DC is central. It's low key and chill. I love where I live. People aren't really bothering me too much. It's an easy pace of life out here. It's nice. But he also said, I have the opportunity to go through that free agency process, go through team pitches, and go through the back end of being a free agent and learning and getting to know different people. At the end of the day in this league, people move all the time, whether it's coaches, GMs, players, staff, or an office people. You may end up at a new place and you never know who you're going to cross paths with. Everything is energy. I don't read anything into these quotes personally. To me, it's leverage. If I'm his, you know, if I'm his agent, I'm telling him, don't say you love DC and you never want to leave. Like, that's bad from a contract negotiation standpoint. So you got to throw in there at least a, hey, I like it here, but I could also like it somewhere else too. I mean,
he's saying, I love DC and I don't want to leave.
Right.
But I will leave.
That's right. If you don't pay me, I'm going to go wherever I have.
That's what he's saying. He's like, hey, I love DC. I don't want to leave. Guys, come on, bring the bag to the table.
That's right. You make this
everything
happen.
Is centralized. You know, it's a quick shot to everything. It's very centralized for me, for my lifestyle, for my world. But the free agency, you know, jumping out there free agency and testing the market, it's not going to kill me.
Right. Is Charlotte really that much worse from a central location perspective if they're going to give me $35 million as opposed to $27 million?
Yes.
Right. You know?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Believe me. Yes.
Sorry, Charlotte. Yeah. I hear you.
I mean, I guarantee you that's the last play. That's not where he wants to be.
No, of anyone in the league, I think Kuzma is probably least suited to end up a Charlotte Hornet, yeah, I think.
Absolutely.
That's fine. Yeah, play the young guys. I don't know. Johnny, that's pretty much all I got on the Wizards at this point. Play the young guys as many minutes as their bodies can handle down the stretch here. That's all I'm looking for.
Make assessments. Make as many assessments as you can. Many notes as you can. Right now, this would be my opportunity to say, hey, let's get the whole scouting team out here and let's make some assessments. Let's make some decisions. And then once we've come back to the drawing table and got to do our due diligence, we'll have a lot of information. Sometimes you don't know what you have.
Yeah.
Now the coaching staff usually know what they have
because they're in practice. At this point, yeah.
But
GM may not. He's not seeing every
practice.
He may
not really know what he has. Right. And sometimes GM will tell you what you have. Instead of you be like, that guy down there, the number 11 on the bench,
yeah,
he really a beast.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right. They're probably paying attention more to your end of the bench guys than you are at a certain point, right?
Exactly.
Last thing here, just to switch gears, some local relevance, some personal relevance for you. Georgetown basketball decided to move on from Patrick Ewing and has hired former Providence head coach Ed Cooley. I guess first things first, what do you think of the hire?
Well, Patrick's my guy, very close friend. And it was bittersweet to see how that happened, I know Patrick, how he is and his basketball knowledge, and he'll land on his feet. Ed, I always liked Ed. Even when I played, I liked Ed. He has a lot of history, in this game. And as far as just him and Providence alone, he really brought Providence name back. Providence was pretty much like, hate to say it, but pretty much like how Georgetown is now.
Yeah, he fixed that. I mean,
right, and he brought him back to relevance.
Yeah,
he brought him back to relevance. And first of all, before anything, we want to bring Georgetown back to relevance because it's just the history and the dynasty and the what Georgetown meant to the city of D.C. Not only D.C. to the whole, to the U.S. Man, Georgetown was one of the biggest names in college basketball at one point. Georgetown merchandise probably sold more in college basketball than any other record sales than any other basketball school in history, in history.
It was just cool, right? I mean,
right. It was cool. Even if you didn't know what Georgetown, really, before I even watched the Georgetown game when I was young, before I went there, I had three Georgetown sweatshirts, one ripped on the Bulldog face, and I made my mother sew it up. And I'm not going to, right?
Yeah.
So just the relevancy, the relevancy would be, we need to get that back because it's historic. It's historic and it's in the culture of just basketball alone. It's very important. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think Ed would bring that back, number one.
Yeah, same.
Now once he brings that back, we there's going to be some expectations, just like any other school. You just have to see him we want to win, like everything is going to win. But I like Ed. I like his style of play. I like how he doesn't need superstars for his offense. To me, he recruits like Big John did. He wants hard-nosed players. He'd rather have a player to dive, to dive out of bounds and knock over the Gatorade cooler just to save a ball.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and he can create from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I personally really, really, and I knew a lot of guys who they were looking at as far as like the opportunities they were.
Sure.
And I knew he was one of them, but they were looking at other candidates. Me personally, I wanted him to be the one they picked.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like a Micah Shrewsbury, amazing coach. Did a lot of Penn State, but I don't think he brings like the cool factor the same way Ed Cooley does. Not to make a name pun there, but like he just seems like he's not a Georgetown guy. He's not a former Georgetown guy, but he has like that Big John vibe to him. And just like, exactly. Like you said, like he's going to honor the legacy there. Like you said, tough, hard-nosed guys. Like, I think people forget, but like, you were one of the tail end of the John Thompson run, like tough as shit big men. Like there were a lot of guys before you that like people don't want to mess with. Like you don't want to F with Alonzo Mourning. Like that's the brand of basketball I think of with Georgetown. Like you come through the lane, you might lose a tooth, you know, like,
right.
I think Cooley guys will do that. And that's what you want from this program. It can't be like the rest of the DC vibe, you know, like we can't be Capitol Hill vibes. Like it's got to be like rough and tumble, and this is Georgetown basketball again. Like
he understands the Big East. He's been in the Big East, right? So it's not like I feel like he's a part of the Big East family.
Yeah. Also, I feel bad for the Providence fans.
As many as other coaches and that you know candidates that they were thinking about that could have took the job, I feel like he was almost the closest one to being an insider already.
Yeah, I agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just makes so much sense for them. I think like of any fit, it's like maybe the best coach hire fit I've seen in a long time.
And it would definitely be Big John approved.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And like the first thing he said was like, doing Big John proud. And I only knew the guy as an older man, but he still had like a certain just like swagger and cachet about him too. And I think like Ed Cooley got that. I did think it was a little weird. He brought in all the other coaches from all the other sports and kind of gave them a lecture on like what it means to be Georgetown. I thought that was a little bit of an interesting move, but hey, you know, do your thing. If it worked for you at Providence and you can do it again here, I do think getting all the sports on the same page is probably a good idea. And, you know,
The boosters and, you know, the sports operations, you know, athletic operations pretty much was like, I like that. Uh-huh. I don't know if that move was for more of us than it was for the school.
Yeah. But he's going to raise some money for people and stuff.
Right.
Are you getting calls from the staff there already? Like, hey, Jahadi, we need you to come out. We need a presence. We could use a big donation.
There's
here.
Been a lot of calls just going all around, man. When everything was going on, it was calls galore. Yeah. So you know, and I plan on being there on the first to go see him and talk to him and just you know, which is good.
I grew up a Maryland fan. I went to Maryland, but I always liked Georgetown. For me, there was never like a rivalry there because by then John and Garrett wouldn't play each other. So it didn't really,
I know
it didn't really matter, which I do hope they can get
players
back
to. Wanted to play each other so bad. Yeah. It was the rivalry was in the streets,
right?
You know, against the players at the time. You had Steve Francis at one side. You had Allen Iverson. You had Joe Smith. You had, you know, you had Jerome Williams. You had, you know, me, you had X-ray. The rivalry was there. It was more tension on the outside than it was, you know, in the basketball offices.
I heard Kevin Willard and Ed Cooley are good buddies. So maybe this is something they can rekindle. I would love to see that. I was at the last Georgetown Maryland game, actually the last two, and they're just fun. And it's like the only time you'll see Capital One full for Georgetown games recently is when you get both fan bases in the same place. So,
and I don't see Cooley dodging any smoke.
Exactly. Yeah.
He knows that we really need to get that fan base back. So it needs to be something big to bring that fan base back in the Maryland Georgetown game.
That's good for recruiting for both teams too. I mean,
and the entire city would be out.
Absolutely. I would definitely be getting tickets for that one. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to see Georgetown be good again. It was sad seeing like 500 people at a game this year. Honestly, like Patrick Ewing deserves better than that. Like the school deserves better than that. So I hope it works out for your sake and for local basketball's sake, because DC is a better sports town, basketball town than it gets credit for. And I think that's a way to fix it. All right, partner. Anything else here before we close it out?
No, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate covering all the topics we covered. It was a good one.
Yeah, we got pretty deep on this one too. So hopefully they're listening. Hopefully they're taking some notes. Maybe, you know, the offseason plans, Tommy Shepard can incorporate a little of this for us, and next year's team will have a little bit more to look forward to.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, everybody, you know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate your reviews. They mean a lot to us just to get feedback and all that good stuff. And yeah, we were brought to you by betonline.ag. We will catch you next time.
Friends, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.